This is Bucky McCaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Happy New Year, chickeners, and those considering chickening. As you may recall, shortly before the holidays in 2013, we aired a show with Steve and Rhoda from Nottingham, New Hampshire. During the hiatus, I kept on thinking about the bits of our visit that ended up on the cutting room floor, so to speak. So the first episode of the year will be additional conversations I'd like to share with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast listeners. If you'd like to refresh your memory of the original show, don't forget everything is available on my archives at radioforall.net if you enter Bucky into the search engine. I still have a couple more interviews from my tour of southern New Hampshire that haven't yet aired, so stay tuned for an interview with one of the region's most experienced and knowledgeable and highly influential chickeners, and an interview with the New Hampshire broadcasters of Bucky episodes. Our first clip has to do with the location of Steve and Rhoda's coop. Another interesting thing I noticed is that your coop is, well, from here it looks to me like it's attached, but actually I think it's just very close.
It's just adjacent to the house.
And a lot of people, for some reason, segregate them all out. So tell me a little bit more about that choice.
It gets pretty cold and snowy in the winter. And that door that you see there leads from our garage to the hen house. And it's as close as we could make it so that we can get to them in the winter and feed them take care of them, water them, and gather eggs and so forth.
I think it gives them protection, too.
And it gives them protection.
Yeah, I wondered if that's a bit of a deterrent to some predators.
Absolutely.
You know, it's right next to a human settlement like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe some ambient heat in one direction or another, do you think? Or not?
Our neighbor across the field here has her chickens in her garage, which is even better.
Right.
Which is even better. She just took a section of her garage and kind of walled it off with chicken wire. Mm-hmm. So she goes out undercover, and she doesn't care if it's snowing or what. And she just has a little door to the outside so the chickens can go in and out. But she's always out of the weather.
Right, right. Yeah. What's your philosophy about chicken feed? I heard that you really do a very good job of raising the ratio of your own feed that's going to the chickens. Tell me a little bit more about the management of that.
Well, when we got into this, I was always a little unhappy with the degree to which we were involved with corporate America to have chickens. You buy the chickens from corporations, you buy the feed from corporations, and so forth. And it is possible to grow many of the things that chickens eat. During the growing season, of course, you give them all the blemished vegetables. You give them all your table scraps and so forth. But we also raise sunflowers and field corn. The deer like our field corn, too. And comfrey. We have a little comfrey patch here. And I've just finished drying a bunch of comfrey that I picked today. And comfrey is something that is apparently very, very good as a supplement for chicken feed. So what I do is I dry it and I just keep it in jars and I incorporate it with table scraps or whatever.
Do you grind it up?
I don't grind it. I just crumple it up.
Oh, you just crumple it up.
It's a leaf, you know. Uh-huh. Just crumple it up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And then I just incorporate it with that.
You use them.
And comfrey doesn't need any coddling. It's very resilient, and we now have a whole row of it over there that they love to eat when they can get at it as a plant. But also, I don't know whether they like it as a supplement. I mean...
But they're going for it.
But they eat it, and it's supposed to be quite good for them. There was a whole movement in England about comfrey and what a miracle comfrey was. The field corn, I grind coarsely, but that amuses a lot of people because you don't really have to grind corn for chickens. Chickens have a gullet, and chickens can eat whole corn kernels and grind them up all by themselves.
Right.
But the other thing is you grow, Steve has some boxes. Did you find
your box? Oh, yes, I have those inside. I made these little boxes for the winter. And they're basically the sort of things that you start plants in. But I put hardware cloth, a quarter-inch mesh on top of them. And I just put grass seed in them and grew grass and then set it out for the chickens, who went absolutely crazy when you gave them something green in the middle of the winter. But the hardware cloth prevented them from digging it up to destruction.
Right.
So I would give it to them. They eat what was above the wire. I'd take it back in. It would grow back, so forth. So I found with four little trays that...
How big?
I could get a rotation of some that were just started and some that had grown a little bit and so forth. And, they're about 16 by 16. Mm-hmm. Little, the sort of thing you start plants in. Just right, a little right. Shallow. Yeah. And they love that in the winter. They're very happy to see some green, you know. Another thing that we feed the chickens is mice that we catch in the house. They are omnivores. They eat all sorts of things. And if you just throw a mouse out among the chickens, they will eat it up. And another thing I give them is I use a lot of shoots and branches for things. I extend the height of the fencing by sticking branches into the chicken wire and raising it up. But when I cut the branches in the spring and they have young little leaves popping out of them, I just put them in the chicken yard, and they love that vegetation, and they they take all the they trim them for me, and then I put them in the fence.
So what's the most interesting thing you've learned about chickens since you began this, or surprising?
How much I like them. I got them for sort of utilitarian reasons, and I have not wanted to have them as pets, because everybody counsels you against making a pet of something you're going to eat eventually. But they are just, they are very entertaining to watch, and they're quite the creatures. They're really very impressive.
And how you feel about eating animals that you've been attached to? Has it been?
I think it's just part of the greater scheme of things. It's fine.
You love them until you eat them.
Well,
it's
in your
hard,
case,
I think.
Sir, it's hard. A little harder than
that. We never eat them the day we kill them. We can't do that. We have to put them in the freezer a while, and then it's okay. But we don't name them. We try to not differentiate them too much in our head, other than Bob. The other ones are just hens. They don't have names, and that helps. But, I mean, we kind of feel that that's part of our responsibility of raising the animals. One of the reasons I feel strongly about keeping them fenced in and all is that I feel that they give us the eggs, they give us the manure. Our job is to keep them safe. And when they reach a certain age, then they also give us the meat, and our job is to provide them with a nice life in between that time, and a safe life and a comfortable life.
And here's one of the reasons why Bob gets a name.
Bob is, I mean, we've seen him a couple of times. I mean, there's a call he makes that you know there's something there, and we'll see all the hens have scurried down under the bushes by the house. They're all under the rhododendrons out of, you know, because there's a hawk flying overhead or something. So Bob keeps a pretty good eye on the yard. And that when he makes a certain noise, those hens have no question what he's saying. They are out
Of there. Was interesting. It was kind of like an air raid drill or something. He just made this noise, and they went, every hen in the yard just bolted to this little sheltered spot, you know.
Wow. Thanks again, Steve and Rhoda from Nottingham. I had a good time.